My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. Broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mayuko Fujino of Copeg, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXE underwriting support is provided in part by Crisafulli Brothers Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Upstate New York's home services company since 1993. Red Carpet Service and Solutions. For more information, visit CRISBRO.com.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, November 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 18 degrees in Medusa to 25 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 43 degrees. Today things will be pretty calm and chilly with a high of 45 at 2 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 27 degrees. Tomorrow temperatures make it up to 53 degrees at 2 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 35, then Saturday will have a high of 58 and some regular winds keeping it chilly. It is time to start layering up again. Sunset today will be at 4:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:42 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 25%. Plasma winds will be slow at 375 kilometers per second, with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 4 MHz till dark, then okay across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 109. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Investors in pharmaceutical companies are selling off stock after Donald Trump nominated the anti-vax activist Robert Kennedy Jr. to lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That for The Guardian. They report RFK Jr. has embraced numerous health-related conspiracy theories and is one of the most persistent and influential vaccine deniers in the U.S. Trump's announcement sent shares in some of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies, including Moderna, AstraZeneca, and GSK, falling this morning. Meantime, November is National Diabetes Month. Experts say with healthier habits, more Mississippians can reverse prediabetes and prevent type 2 diabetes and all of its complications. Our Danielle Smith has more.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 345,000 adult Mississippians have diagnosed diabetes. Dr. Griffin Rogers with the National Institutes of Health says 17% of Mississippi residents are diabetic, compared to about 11.5% nationally. He adds it's important to manage diabetes right after a diagnosis, which can help people stay healthier longer and prevent complications.
Diabetes can damage damage blood vessels and nerves. So the patients that have it have a higher risk of developing conditions like a heart attack or a stroke.
And sticking with the health beat, Ohio is leading the way in new research that may help those affected by lymphedema.
It's a chronic condition that causes painful swelling due to buildup of fluid in the lymphatic system, which is part of a person's immune system. For many patients, this condition can develop following cancer treatment. Teresa Lau, a breast cancer survivor and lymphedema patient at the Ohio State University James Cancer Center, describes how new monitoring technology has provided her peace of mind.
This is great for somebody who lives an hour away from OSU. It lets you know, it's like, my arms swell up, and so what can I do? What are the next steps?
The study Teresa refers to, called Project Limb Rescue, uses wearable technology to monitor lymphedema in real time. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Next up, electric vehicles have seen a nationwide uptick, yet Wisconsin lags behind. Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. In Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brookman is with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association.
If you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. This is Public News Service. Construction is scheduled to begin early next year on improvements to railroad infrastructure in and around Springfield, Illinois.
The city has received a $157 million Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements grant through the Federal Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. Nate Bottom, the chief city engineer for Springfield, says the money will go for a number of projects designed to improve safety and rail service across the region.
It's been one of the bottlenecks for the high-speed rail between Chicago to St. Louis. It's one track through the city of Springfield, so now it'll be dual track, and there will be a new Amtrak station, multimodal station, where we'll have bus transfers as well as a parking structure.
The grant is part of $2.4 billion in Federal Railroad Administration funding for 122 rail projects in 41 states and Washington, D.C. I'm Mark Richardson.
Meantime, if state and local governments want healthier populations, new findings suggest they should be more aggressive in tackling income inequality. A Nebraska organization feels the approach is on point.
A new study from Johns Hopkins University looked at obesity levels in more than 3,000 counties across the country. The places with minimum wages of at least $9 an hour had greater success in reducing obesity rates. Christine Carey helps address economic justice with the group Stand In for Nebraska. She says other data routinely show that healthier foods tend to cost more, so the connection made in this new research is pretty clear.
Raising the minimum wage is obviously a way to increase access to healthier food. You just have more money to spend on it.
In 2022, Nebraska voters approved a gradual increase in the state's minimum wage. At the same time, the state doesn't fare well in obesity rankings. Carey sees a chance for numbers to improve as wages go up, but she notes not all communities have stores that sell healthy foods, potentially hindering that progress. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, from our Eric Tegedoff, the fight against infections faces an increasing threat, the rise of superbugs resistant to antibiotics.
The issue already impacts nearly 3 million and kills 35,000 Americans per year. It poses a threat to the effectiveness of antibiotics going forward if the problem is not addressed. But Dr. Paul Pottinger, a University of Washington professor of infectious diseases, says this is an avoidable disaster. He notes that it's a natural part of evolution.
Over time, inevitably, microorganisms will become resistant to the antibiotics that we use. And that means that we need to have a plan. We need something that's going to move forward and help us deal with this threat.
Pottinger says Congress is considering a bipartisan piece of legislation that could help address the shortage of drugs to treat resistant diseases.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up the week with Public News Service. Remember, and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello, and welcome to this segment of Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest today is a local blues singer and member of the Green County Historical Society, Lex Gray.
Thank you so much for having me. I know we talked about a lot of the things we were going to potentially discuss in this segment. And between that discussion and now, I received a most interesting package on my doorstep. And I thought this was worth mentioning since this is definitely a backtracks in time type
Perfect.
Thing. So the odd-shaped box arrives with my legal name on it and my husband's legal name, not our stage names or music names. So we thought that was interesting. It was oddly shaped. It was rather heavy and dense. And much to our curiosity and delight, it was a bunch of pictures of our house. We live in the village of Catskill. We bought our house 19 years ago last week. And it is quite an amazing old Victorian house. It's full of mystery. It's full of questions. And this box with all of these photos from the 20s and 30s, and you know that's a time that I'm very interested in, mm-hmm. especially in Catskill with my speeches about bootlegging and such and blues music and bawdy entertainment here in Catskill in the 20s and 30s. I got this letter and package from somebody who lived in the home in that time.
Okay.
So shall I proceed and read the letter?
Go for it. And then we'll get into the, you know, whatever. We'll take it from there.
All right. I will redact the address and the names.
Yes.
Just because I haven't gotten this person's permission to share this.
Okay.
You are probably wondering why you got this odd-shaped package. I am, name redacted. I am the grandson of name redacted, who lived in your house following their marriage and until my grandfather died and my grandmother moved into an apartment on Main Street. I will not burden you with their complete history, but you might find it interesting to learn that my grandfather was an attorney who practiced in Catskill, and upon his death, my grandmother became an historian with Greene County.
I see the connection here.
Wow. Ding, 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 ding. Right? The letter continues, the person's mother is now 96 years old, and they're downsizing her house, which she's lived in since 1959. She moved to that house after growing up in my house in Catskill. In her files, we came across architectural drawings of your house, sending them to us, sketches of built-ins, sketches of all the secret compartments. Very exciting. I have included in this package some other items you might find interesting. Some samples of the wallpaper for the living and dining rooms, and also some photographs of myself, my sister, and my grandparents, so you could see how the house was decorated in the mid-1950s. It continues and gets more interesting. My mother and sister and I spent our summers at the address after my grandfather's death. I have particularly fond memories of the attic and the porch on the second floor. The family story is that the second floor bathroom was renovated during the Depression using the money my grandfather earned prosecuting Legg's Diamond.
Oh, okay.
Now, ironically, I just did a talk, fairly recently did a talk at the Historical Society about gangsters of notoriety in Greene County, mm-hmm. and Legg's Diamond was at the forefront. It was fascinating to me that the house had a second stairway. I recall the railroad tracks near the house, which fortunately were not used much. Oh, well, that sure has changed.
Yes.
We called the structure in the backyard the summer house. It had a great view. Turns out it had a view of the Grand Hotel, which is the hotel that was mentioned in my rise and fall and re-rise of Catskill Mountain Resorts.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of so interesting that from the backyard of the home, you could see the structure that I did a presentation on.
I believe that was where the Green Medical Arts is.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. I had no idea you could see it from that area, though. It must have been huge. When I'd been in the area, I've always taken time to drive slowly past the house. I've never had the courage to get out and knock on the door. Wish you had. I would appreciate hearing from you and that you've gotten these items so I can report to my mom and my sister. So there is a letter in the mail now back to this wonderful person. And in that time, I took out a book from the Vetter Library, which was the book that the woman who lived in my home wrote about Greene County history. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I know it's terrible to do show and tell on the radio, but but I'm waving
good
a
point,
pamphlet.
Yeah.
I'm waving around a small pamphlet.
Trust me, it's there.
So I thought that would be a really interesting way to kind of open tracks of history and how history comes back around and people interested in history reach out to each other through time.
Excellent. Yes, it is. Excellent way to start. Thank you, Lex. So now you're going to be doing a presentation, I understand, this coming Sunday, the 17th at...
On Sunday, November 17th, I'll be doing my Women of the Blues show. And I don't know if all of our listeners know, but not only am I in a touring blues and rock band, I really enjoy the music of the past, and I'm greatly influenced by it. And I love to do presentations of historical music. I've done a couple at the Historical Society. I'm a member of the Bronk House, and I'm a frequent flyer at the Vetter Library. And I really encourage anyone who's interested in history to connect with those venues. And there's also a Greene County Facebook page. The Greene County Historical Society has a Facebook page. The website, if you're interested in connecting with the society, is gchistory.org, and you can become a member, as I am. And we do a lot of interesting presentations, and this one grew out of the kind of a woman's movement and, the political times. And these are the seminal women that invented blues and rock and roll, and I am presenting their music and their stories on Sunday, November 17th at 2 p.m. at the Park Theater in Hudson. And it's an amazing theater with beautiful tin walls. And so that is the show that I will be presenting at the Park Theater in Hudson on Sunday, November 17th at 2 o'clock. And you can get tickets at theparktheaterhudson.com.
Okay, wonderful. Now, we were talking the other night, Lex going over this, and now you also mentioned that tying this into Catskill in a way, that Catskill was a stop on the music and vaudeville circuit?
Absolutely, and that's actually what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
and I still have some very nice tidbits about that. There is a house in Catskill that... I'm actually putting the feelers out to get information about it. It was recently purchased, and it might become a museum for the Black Vaudeville Renaissance. It supposedly, now when I was looking at homes in the village of Catskill, that home was referred to as the brothel. Supposedly, wow. Prior to its incarnation as a brothel, it was a stop on the train where members of Black vaudeville troops could stay because, of course, housing was not integrated well here. And they had their place that they stayed. And they had a whole network of places that they stayed. I would think that would be something from the South. But unfortunately, it was something that was true even in upstate New York.
Yeah.
So a lot of people from the Harlem Renaissance movement might have stayed at this residence here in the village of Catskill, right up on North Street.
Oh.
And we are looking for any letters or so. Call to any history buffs out there if you have any information about this house. Some called it the English house. I've heard it called the child's house. Any information, I would love to hear from you.
Oh, wow. Now you got me thinking where that could be on North Street. Okay, there's only two streets over from me.
Well,
so
think about where the train might be. And
go from I think I got an idea of where.
And the train would stop there, and clandestinely the performers would unload into the residence and stay there.
And
also the rumor has it about this hobo tramp camp that was right across the train tracks from said vaudeville residence. So, and this was told to me by a neighbor who was elderly when I first moved into the home. She discussed how there were hobos and they would knock on the doors of the people in the village and either ask for some money or ask for something to put in the soup pot or ask if there was a chore they could do in exchange for a little bit of money. And thus, the hobo soup song.
Right. I remember several years ago, Lex was on. I used to do this as a monthly show. And Lex was on, I think, around the time that album came out.
Yeah, we did a little homage to the Catskill hobo. Mm-hmm. And a local person did tell me, but of course this is bar lore, that the bowling alley was named for all the hobos in Catskill. That's why it's called the Hobo. Oh. That Catskill was a hobo destination, and the hobo meaning homebound soldier.
That is the
origin of that word. Homebound soldier from a war. If your town has been destroyed, mm-hmm. or the economy in your town has been destroyed, you'll hop on the train and find another place to settle your roots.
I love learning these extra little things, folks. I'm a railroad buff anyway, so that's where hobo comes from.
Yeah, Catskill's a good village if you're a train nerd, like Jack and I.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So the possibility does exist that a lot of these seminal women of the blues might have been on a train stopping in Catskill. I know the Rabbit's Foot vaudeville troupe did perform here at one of the theaters. I think I have it written down. See, I brought my notes, and now I can't read them. help me.
Nelida?
The Nelida. Can't read my own handwriting. Right. Yeah, that one of these vaudeville troupes, if not several, might have performed there. And many burlesque shows have performed at that theater. And funny factoid, Betsy Custer and Candace Wheeler, both founders of the International Design Center, who also founded Auntiora, mm-hmm. as a upscale women's retreat to get away from the hubbub of New York City, where there were no phones and you would design your own cabin. They also had little parades through Tannersville where they would ride naked on oxen. You can't make this stuff up. Anyway,
I'm going to have that visual now. Thanks, Lex. Yeah,
they were responsible for bringing the burlesque to upstate New York and to more like smaller theaters in more rural areas. And the Ixion Burlesque was one of the interracial burlesque shows that they brought up here to Catskill.
Whoa. Right? Okay, Catskill a whole different way now.
Very ahead of our time. Our village has always been very open-minded, and we're not going to change now.
Right. And just a quick side note. We mentioned the Nelida Theater. That stood on the spot where the present-day Community Theater is. The Nelida burned, I believe, in 1917, and the community was evicted in 1920 as a vaudeville house. So I'd love to see it reopened again.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. There's always room for a good vaudeville theater in a vigorous village. So please support history. And become a member of your local historical society. get out and find those stories and spread them around, talk to people, open up a network. That's the only way that we're going to keep the great tales of our village and our history alive, is if we share them together. And you can always, you know, back up some of these stories with some facts, because mm-hmm. we have access to a wonderful library here in Greene County. Mm-hmm. But you can also disseminate them as folklore, and maybe other people can corroborate the story. Not everything gets written down, so make sure that you keep the oral history of your community alive.
Yes, if it's older people, yeah, maybe perhaps older people to talk to. They've lived through all of this. You know, they have a wealth of information.
Right, and, yeah. and you know, get a hold of those scrapbooks and those photos. Not everything is going to make that digital transfer. Right. So, you know, grab hold of it. And there's also a very good reliquary at the Vetter Library. You can probably drop anything off that you don't know what to do with. Okay. And hopefully it will be, I don't want to make any more work for the archivists, but, you know, hopefully it will be put in a place where people who are doing projects like you or I could access these things and borrow them, photograph them, disseminate them, mm-hmm. etc. I know I've used that library as a great resource for a lot of the lecture series that I do. So yes. it's really invaluable. And then, of course, you can get off on a tangent and be in there for 3 days, you know, on something that you had no idea. Like, you know, you just start running with a tentacle and a lot of really, really cool things come up.
And again, as a side note, Vetter, that was the name of one of the Greene County historians, I think back in the 20s, Jesse Van Vechten Vetter.
Very good.
And
absolutely
so that's
true.
Where that came from. Just throwing my own little things there, too.
There you go. And a great resource of information that's open to the public. You can make an appointment, go in, and have run of all of this wonderful stuff through the ages. And lots of newspaper clippings and other archives, boxes of you know, people's scrapbooks. I love the old letters. I'm a letters person. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can really get a better window on history reading a communication between two people than you can reading a book full of factoids.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, just I know you. Where is the Park Theater located?
The Park Theater is on Warren Street in Hudson, on the, like, I guess that's the lower part near the square, 723 Warren.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful old space with tin walls that is being lovingly restored as a performance space.
Oh, okay.
And that, once again, that's Sunday, November 17th at 2 p.m. Okay. Women of the Blues, Naughty Body Songs by the Naughty Body Women That Invented Blues and Rock and Roll.
Right up your alley there, Lex. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Lex, for joining me once again on Backtracks.
Such a pleasure to be on Backtracks, and let's all make sure that we make our beautiful tracks through history.
Good. Wonderful. Thank you. I couldn't say better myself. Okay, again, thank you, Lex, for joining us. And so stay tuned for another segment of Backtracks in Time in the near future. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and have a great day.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Good news, good planet, good news.
It's time now for your good news for a good planet. Regrowing Costa Rica. By the late 20th century, deforestation had cost Costa Rica nearly half of its lush forests. By 2023, just a few decades later, the country had not only reversed the destruction, they nearly doubled their tropical rainforests. They used a combination of logging bans and the introduction of the Payments for Environmental Services program, a government fund that incentivizes citizens to protect the natural ecosystem. The idea is to make forests more profitable than farmlands. The voluntary contract pays landowners and communities to protect forests and watersheds, replant trees, and maintain agroforestry systems. Selective harvesting of timber from managed and reforested areas is also allowed, giving farmers an additional revenue stream. The system is primarily financed by taxes on fossil fuels and has paid out $500 million to landowners while saving a million hectares of forest and planting over 7 million trees. When combined with the country's $4 billion ecotourism business, the program makes sense and is being adapted by other nations. Costa Rica's conservation efforts earned it the 2021 Earthshot Prize. Upon receiving the million-pound prize, Costa Rica's president pledged to continue his country's phenomenal environmental work. And this is Mandy from GoodNewsGoodPlanet.com.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. What decided the 2024 presidential race? Anya Slepian reports it was less a strong rural vote than a slumping urban one.
The numbers aren't all in, and President Donald Trump did get widespread support from rural voters. But a Daily Yonder analysis shows a weaker turnout in cities and suburbs had more impact. Daily Yonder's data correspondent, Sarah Malott, says Trump got about the same number of votes as in 2020, while Vice President Kamala Harris couldn't match President Joe Biden's tally.
Harris received 12 million fewer votes than Biden did in 2020, a 15% drop in turnout, while Trump only lost 1 million votes.
Trump's rural support remained stable, but in major metropolitan areas, Harris lost 9 million votes compared to Biden in 2020.
It was mostly the collapse in Democratic turnout in the nation's largest cities and suburbs that cost Harris the race for the presidency.
I'm Anya Slepian.
A successful ballot measure in Minnesota could lead to more climate-friendly farming. Nearly 4 out of 5 voters favored funneling lottery money to a land conservation and clean water fund for another 25 years. Teresa Caveney with Climate Land Leaders says smaller family farms want to be good stewards but need support to do it.
In this time of low corn and soybean prices, money that is available to help incentivize these kinds of practices is absolutely critical if we're to ensure that we have good quality drinking water and don't pollute our rivers, lakes, and streams.
Caveney says the 36-year-old program, written into the state constitution, supports cover crops and managed grazing for farm animals. She says that strengthens the health of the land, cuts carbon emissions, and helps farming communities.
The financial risks have to be minimized so that farmers can make the transition.
These days, a slow internet connection can kill a business. But a new report shows the opposite happens to rural areas with strong broadband. Amanda Weinstein with the Center on Rural Innovation says instead of closing down, businesses boom.
For those communities that had high broadband utilization, they saw a tremendous difference, specifically with entrepreneurship.
Statesboro, Georgia has had 20% poverty for more than 3 decades. Weinstein says for communities like that, and everyone in the country really, high-speed internet can make a huge difference. The research found in the studied communities, it more than doubled business growth.
We saw new businesses opening. The difference was so stark that it was a 213% difference in the business growth rate.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather... hot! Wake up!
I cry because it's over and you are here no more. This place will never mean as much as it did before. Yet when I cried enough for you, I often have to smile. I think how lucky I was then to have you for mine. Farewell, my arrows, until we meet again. Your memory will stay with me until I'm old, and then you'll take my hand one silent night and call so soft to me. Like swans we'll fly together to beautiful Lochory. No more you roam the valleys or climb a hilly peak. No more we'll go to Mayo and climb St. Patrick's Reek. No more we'll walk the streets of Boyle or Halna Crockery. No more we'll swim together in the waters of Lochory. When we met again in New York City, I felt so blessed, and our love for each other very quickly progressed. You were a happy worker, and I often sent you flowers to my true love working in those ill-fated towers. Farewell, my rose, until we meet again. Your memory will stay with me until I'm old, and then you'll take my hand one silent night and call so soft to me. Like swans we'll fly together to beautiful Lochory. I never went to visit you, I've an awful fear of heights. You said that from your window you could see impressive sights. That you should then be taken is hard to perceive. On your first day back at work from your maternity leave. Often Sal comes in the room as my eyes are drying, and in a sad, sad voice she asks, Daddy, are you crying? How long more can I lie to her and tell her it's a pollen? A replica of you standing there, the young Miss Sally Fallon. Farewell, my Rara Rose, until we meet again. Your memory will stay with me until I'm old, and then you'll take my hand one silent night and call so soft to me. Like swans we'll fly together to beautiful Lochory. Farewell, my Rara Rose, until we meet again. Your memory will stay with me until I'm old, and then you'll take my hand one silent night and call so soft to me. Like children of Lir, forever swimming in the green. Farewell, my Rara.
Great God Almighty, let me tell you my need. Head's been wet with dozen of angels feet. Put one hand on my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Better run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Throw a rock, hide your hand. Working in the dark against a fellow man. Sure as God, live day and night. What you do in the dark will be brought to light. You may run and hide, slip and slide. Trying to take the mold from your neighbor's eye. Sure as the Lord may be rich or poor. What you reap, my brother, is what you sow. You may run on for a long time. Run on.
Here is 2022 local music from Karen Schomer, the Columbia County-based poet and sound artist Peter Taylor. Their album is called Agro Dulce, and they call themselves Karen and Peter. And this song is called Weekend in the Berkshires.
Blueberry denim, cherry wallpaper, across the room, something on the stove sizzles.
Are you coming over after band practice? Are you wearing the green jacket I gave you?
Puff of smoke, creak of a chair. A robin rises from the driveway into the scarlet oak. So faint I can't hear it. Don't drink the water. It's full of lead. Species crash disturbs the unintended garden. No sense of space under there. Just cement on dirt. The weather warm and strange. Sweating no longer cools the body.
Are you coming over after band practice? Are you ignoring my texts? Are you leaving your wife?
But I loved that kitchen and ate that pizza. Puzzles on the wainscot, pastries on Saturday morning, or was it Sunday? God, it's only Tuesday.
Thank you.
the 2022 album Dodging Dues. That was Cassandra from Garcia Peoples. They're based in Ulster County and include Copakes PG6 as well. On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That was Catskill's Ross Goldstein with Spooky Actions from his 2020 album Tomoka. Next up, we have brand new music from 2022 from Hudson-based band Buchan Gace and the So Percussion troupe that is largely based on the Bard College campus. This song is called Hold It In from Buchan Gace and So Percussion.